Joining me now is George Shultz, who is President Reagan's former Secretary of State. Mr. Shultz, thank you very much for joining us. I wonder if we could talk for a moment about that legacy in foreign policy we just heard Neil refer to. You were at President Reagan's side at one of the most dramatic moments of his presidency, the summit at Reykjavik with Mikhail Gorbachev. A moment came when you walked into the briefing to break the news that the two leaders had come very close to an arms control agreement, but had failed to close the deal. What is your memory of the president at that meeting?
Well, he is a consummate negotiator, and he handled dramatic concessions by the Soviet Union extremely well. And we regrouped ourselves as these concessions kept coming on the table. But then at the very end, when so much had seemed to be accomplished, Gorbachev made everything conditional on what amounted to giving up our effort to learn how to defend ourselves against ballistic missiles.
The Star Wars defense.
Well, everybody seems to call it Star Wars. We call it strategic defense.
Right.
But at any rate, he declined to do that. I think Gorbachev must have thought that if there was so much that could have been accomplished, if you only gave up Star Wars, it would make Star Wars, as you put it, unpopular. It turned out to be the reverse. And people said, gee, if they're willing to do that much for it, maybe it's a pretty good system. And at any rate, as it turned out, we had seen their bottom line in Reykjavik. And as time went on, all of those potential agreements did become real. And we did eliminate intermediate-range ballistic missiles. We did get strategic arms cut in half. And a point of great significance at Reykjavik that tends to get overlooked, the Soviet Union agreed there that human rights would be an acknowledged regular part and an acknowledged agenda item on for our discussions. And that was the beginning of the real openings in human terms in the Soviet Union. So the Reykjavik meeting was a pivotal meeting of great importance, without a doubt.
Then there was the Iran-Contra affair, what appeared to be an ill-conceived arrangement that involved funding Nicaraguan Contra fighters in defiance of the will of Congress. But President Reagan emerged from a very messy situation largely unscathed. Do you think he really was not aware of what was going on?
Well, he knew that we were selling arms to the Iranians, and it was described to him as a way of creating a new relationship with Iran. And incidentally, Mr. President, said the advocates, we'll get our hostages out. And Ronald Reagan was very frustrated by the hostage situation. He felt that as president, here were these Americans being badly treated, and as president, he wanted to do something about it. So he was kind of easily persuaded.
Many people...
I suppose one reason why it didn't harm him as much as it might is that people could see that his motivations were good. And after all, if you're an American and you get in trouble, you'd like to think your president is thinking about you and working for you, wouldn't you? And that's real. That was what this came from. And so it was a policy that several of us opposed, particularly Cap Weinberger and myself. But nevertheless, it was well motivated.
Many people believe the president's big defense buildup, his support for the Afghan Mujahideen fighting the Soviets, that all his huge investment in all of that pushed the Soviet Union to collapse. Is that a claim you'd make? Is it we have about a minute. Do you think that's how he'll be? What he'll be remembered for?
Well, certainly the buildup of strength gave us the basis for negotiating with the Soviet Union. You don't negotiate from weakness. You negotiate from strength. And so the buildup of strength meant that we had a platform from which to negotiate, and President Reagan negotiated very ably.
Secretary Shultz, thank you so much for talking to us this evening.
Okay. Bye.
Former Secretary of State George Shultz, who served in the Reagan administration.